today, unless anybody would like to volunteer to sing a patriotic song. Glenn? No? Okay, just checking. So with that, we will just move right to the pledge.
To the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And public comment period is open. I do not have any speaker slips. Anyone who is here to speak to any item not on the agenda, please do come forward now. Seeing no one, we'll close public comment, and we'll move to our consent agenda. We have a couple of items on the consent agenda.
Planning staff updates.
Oh, skipping planning staff updates. No, moving backwards. Planning staff updates, Mr. Nall.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the Commission. I'm John Nall, staff with the Department of Planning and Building. I'm going to fill in for Warren Hogue this morning, who had to be at another important place. No more important than this, of course. He may join us this afternoon if we go past lunch. Two things for you this morning with regard to staff updates. The first is we're going to give you a day off. June 10th is a date that we had a number of items scheduled. However, those items have fallen off the docket. And so June 10th, we will not be having a commission meeting. Any questions about that? Moving on then.
Well, this may be going forward too soon. Just our item one, I think, had a recommendation for continuance to that date.
Actually, we've got another date for you, and when we get to that item, we'll talk about the date that we're going to continue that to.
Okay,
we've got that one figured out.
Okay.
The second item I had for you this morning with regard to staff updates is a report out on a scoping meeting that was held. And that was held on May 18th for the First Solar Topaz Solar Project. And we have Mr. Trevor Keith here, our project manager on that project, to give you that report. And I'll turn it over to Trevor.
Thank you, John. Good morning, commissioners. I'm here to give you an update on the scoping meeting that, as Mr. Nall alluded to, was on May 18th out in the Carrizo. Just to give you a little background with the update, First Solar is in for a conditional use permit. They originally submitted July 18th, 2008, and the impetus for an additional scoping meeting and notice of preparation was a change of options to their project, which I'll get into in just a second, which they submitted on January 27th of this year. We have had a scoping meeting before the Planning Commission on June 11th of last year, another scoping meeting out in the Carrizo Plain on July 15th, and then an additional scoping meeting for these changes on May 18th. And now we are beginning the EIR preparation. Just to orient you from a high level, Topaz now includes two options, and then there's one other solar project proposed out in the Carrizo, and that is the California Valley Solar Ranch to the east there. So just to kind of orient you to the two projects that are proposed out there currently. So the project hasn't changed as far as megawatts. It's still a 550-megawatt PV solar project. The difference now is that there's an option A and an option B that are being analyzed in the EIR, and there's different kind of larger acreage study areas that are being analyzed, and then the project will be a smaller footprint within that area.
Is the smaller footprint, excuse me, Mr. Keith, still going to be the same power output in the smaller footprint?
Correct, yeah. And so the previous project, the study area was a little bit smaller, and the developed area a little bit smaller. And so you can just see option A and option B, just some characteristics of the wanted to let folks know during the scoping meeting some of the differences that we could point out. And so just a couple aerials of the project boundary. This is the original project as proposed when they first submitted. It was turned in and everything was north of kind of Highway 58 there. Construction effects, traffic delays, impacts to school routes, fire protection, loss of agriculture land, specifically the Williamson Act land, which is specific to the option B there, the one north of 58. Concerns were regarding water supply, water quality, kind of the visibility of the solar panels, the effects potentially to the nighttime sky, the loss of botanical and wildlife habitat, and disruption to wildlife corridors in the Carrizo. In addition, potential operational noise, loss of county tax revenue, cumulative impact from the two projects being proposed, and then the capacity on existing transmission lines that run east to west out there, being able to serve both of these projects if approved. And so comments are due on June 18th, and if folks have questions or comments, they can reach me at my phone or my email. And then we post everything on our website, the initial study, and then as well as all the comments from the notice of preparation and the scoping. Those will all be posted on our website, as well as all the documents that have been submitted for the application are up there as well. And with that, that's all I had from the scoping meeting, and I'm happy to answer questions.
Thank you, Mr. Keith. Questions? Mr. O'Grady?
Yes, good morning, Mr. Keith. Could you just give us a brief overview of the California Valley solar ranch, I guess you called it?
Sure. So that project, it's the applicant is SunPower, and that project, it's half the megawatts. It's about 225 megawatts production. It's a similar photovoltaic panel system. And it's about half the size as well, and so similar constraints that they're running into as the first solar project.
Now, what's the time frame for that? Would you estimate?
They're a little bit ahead as far as the processing time. The draft environmental impact report should be out probably early to mid of June, whereas the Topaz, it's probably going to be early fall before a draft EIR for the Topaz project hits the streets.
Thank you very much.
No problem.
And Mr. Keith, I still have some confusion. Topaz is the thin film project or SunPower?
They're both. Topaz is the thin film.
Okay.
And they're both photovoltaic, just different technologies.
Okay, so Topaz is thin film, all right.
Correct, yeah.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, thank you for coming today.
Thank you.
Good to have the update. That's moving along. Mr. Null, any other comments?
None at this time, Madam Chair. I think we're ready to move to the next item. I guess a final comment would be this is really kind of a test case of how we're going to now try to proceed with reporting out to your commission on scoping meetings rather than holding that entire meeting in front of your commission, and hopefully this will work well, but we'll be interested in your comments.
Thank you. So I think we'll all be thinking about that and can get feedback back to you or some other staff member as we go along.
That'd be
like
great.
It may be a good compromise, understanding the financial constraints of holding several meetings.
Right. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Null? General comments? Updates? Commissioner South? Okay. Seeing none, we'll move along then to our consent agenda. A couple items on the consent agenda. So A1 is emergency permits, and I did hear Mr. Null had a comment on that. So would someone like to pull that for discussion?
I'll move that we pull it for discussion.
Okay. And any other items then on the consent agenda anybody would like to pull? We have minutes for meetings. So maybe before we discuss consent A1, we could approve consent agenda items B and C. Do I hear a motion to approve?
So moved.
Okay,
second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, so with that, let's go back to consent agenda item A1 for discussion.
Madam Chair, John Null again. This was an emergency permit that was issued, vetted, and the folks that are willing to jump in and do the work on this, it won't be considered an emergency permit anymore because we're outside of the rainy season. This was a, as Jeff will, as he provides the details, you'll understand that this was a hole that eroded next to the Salinas River as a result of some of those intense winter storms that we had this last winter. We're outside of that rainy season, and so staff doesn't see that this is an emergency anymore, and so we'll be working with the applicant to follow up with a regular grading permit to resolve this problem. If you'd like some more detail on this item, we can at this point turn it over to Mr. Jeff Oliveira to provide that. You do have a staff report in your long agenda.
Thank you, Mr. Null. Are there more questions on this, or would any commissioners like more detail?
Very, very briefly, I did have a question when I read it last night. It may not apply now that there's not a two-phase permit, an emergency permit, and then a regular grading permit, but I did notice where you referenced the second phase includes the maintenance of the existing drainage channel and runs through Cal Portland. It goes on to say the second phase will be proposed as part of a subsequent grading permit. If it's a regular maintenance of a channel, does it require a grading permit?
Good morning, Jeff Oliveira, Environmental Specialist. The second phase that was discussed in the staff report included, and we have a graphic up here that kind of shows what we're talking about, is the repair, and you can see the original drainage line here that runs through. This is the Cal Portland site here, Volpe Isabel Highway 101. The second phase of that project was to propose the repair of this historic drainage and return it to its natural function, which is to take stormwater flows through this along this historic drainage channel. And it goes through a large culvert under the railroad and into the river. The proposal for that second phase hasn't been received yet by staff, so it's hard to tell at this point what exactly they're proposing and whether it would trigger the need for a grading permit or a land use permit based on the volume of earth to be moved and so forth. So it would be speculation that at this point without an application.
Thank you. So there is a potential that a grading permit wouldn't be required if it's just a cleanup of an existing channel, or is the channel so antiquated that it appears it will take lot more?
From preliminary talks with the Cal Portland folks, I would guess that the volume of earth that they're going to be moving would trigger a grading permit. I don't have any numbers, but when we talked preliminarily, there's some grading that needs to be done to restore the channel so that it conveys stormwater. Part of the problem was that over the years, this drainage had not been maintained, and nor was it required to, but extensive stormwater flow jumped that drainage and hit the path of least resistance, which was an internal road, shot straight down and caused the erosion damage. I would guess it would be a grading permit.
Madam Chair, we also have Tim Tomlinson here with Public Works, and he's been out to the site and met with all of the parties and is very familiar with this, and he's our drainage expert. So
you're the one to answer this question then, huh?
Hi, Tim Tomlinson, Public Works.
Everything Jeff said is correct, but the more direct answer really is it's restoration of a drainage path that isn't there today. It's been pretty much completely destroyed by subsequent development over the past 30 years. And the water in the storm found a path, but it's not really something you'd recognize as a channel.
Thank you. That's the impression that I drew from the staff report, but it wasn't real clear, so I just wanted to get a clarification on that. So thank you both. That answers my question.
Any other questions on this item? Comments?
Madam Chair, I had a question. Jeff, when was the emergency permit issued? I noticed the staff report says that you met with them on March 24th and then met on site on April 6th. I'm assuming it was April 6th. Is that correct?
The actual emergency permit date of issuance was April 26th. We needed a more detailed project description from the Cal Portland representative engineer, Mr. Tartaglia. Once we received that and worked with them, we issued it on April 26th, is the official date.
Did they ever file the required land use permit application by May 26th?
No, they didn't. I believe they didn't do the work.
So. Went to the reporting requirements for emergency permits in section 22.62.080B8 of the land use ordinance.
Second.
Second.
Okay. And all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Half of the room leaves after that one. Thank you, Mr. Tomlinson. Mr. Keith, thank you.
Thank you.
With that, we'll move on to our regular hearing items. Start with item one. If the clerk will please introduce that item.
Hearing of a request by Bradshaw for a reconsideration of a minor use permit. County file number DRC 2007-00184, Supervisorial District 3. Bill Wilkes, John Nall, Principal Environmental Assessor.
Madam Chair, I'll turn it over to Mr. Robeson, who isn't the project manager, but is filling in for him today.
Thank you. Mr. Robeson, before you start, any ex parte contacts to disclose? Anyone? Okay, with that.
Good morning, Commissioners. Bill Robeson, planning staff. The Bradstall project is located on Buckley Road. Your commission has seen kind of the preliminary information about that project. Staff is continuing to work on hopefully some resolution. We can't guarantee anything, but we have moved the continuance date to a date certain, which is July 29th.
And Mr. Robinson, I understand the applicant is frustrated about these constant continuances. You do have some kind of agreement. I don't see the applicant here today that date will...
We've been in contact with the applicant and the applicant's attorney, so they're in agreement with that July 29th date.
Okay, thanks. Any questions or comments then on that request for continuance? So do I hear a motion?
Any members of the public?
Oh, excuse me. Apologies. I have no speaker slips, so I did not open that to public comment. Anyone from the public here to speak to this item? Okay, public comment closed. Thank you. With that, discussion, questions, or a motion?
I'll move that we move this item to a date certain, July 29th, 2010.
Second.
Okay, second there. All in favor?
Aye.
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 So continued unanimously. And with that, we'll move on to our second hearing item of the day. The clerk will please introduce that one.
Hearing to consider a request by Robert Brody for a minor use permit. County file number DRC 2009-00044. Supervisorial District M4, Bill Robeson, project manager.
Mr. Robeson stays on the seat here, yes. Before we get a staff report, I will ask if any commissioners have any ex parte meetings or contacts to report disclosed. Okay, in this way?
Yes. Yes, I met with Mr. Nall and Mr. Robeson on Monday for about an hour and just asked various questions, which I believe Mr. Robeson will probably address in the staff report, including I wanted just some data on how many people had these types of medical marijuana permits. I wanted data on historical crime associated with these kinds of permits, and I wanted to know about signage, hours, and hours of operation. That was it.
Thank you. I also will disclose that I was at that meeting on Monday morning with Mr. Robeson and Mr. Nall, and just this morning before the meeting, I had a meeting with the applicants, Tom Meredith, Bob Brody, and their attorney, Rick Nizak. And we did discuss similarly operational issues, how the clinic would work operationally, how many county users there may be, and how it would work. So if anything that was discussed in that meeting doesn't come up in their testimony today, I will bring it up later. With that, Mr. Robeson.
Thank you, Chairperson Wyatt. Bill Robeson, County Planning. So let me get you familiar with the site. There's an aerial photo up on the screen. There's a lot of moving parts to this. It seems somewhat simple in the ordinance, but once you begin to apply the standards, there are some fine details that need to be discussed and evaluated. So Highway 101 is going north to south. The building where the proposed medical marijuana dispensary is highlighted in pink here. The property is highlighted in a dashed blue line in 101. Residential single family in this brighter yellow, and I just mentioned that residential neighborhood, which is to the north of the site and to the west of the site, which is residential suburban, and it is in this pale color. This is kind of a layout, a general layout of the space that is proposed to be used. Just to give you more perspective again, Linden Lane, is facing this way, so the storefront will be facing Linden Lane. And let me just go back to this. Linden Lane is curving around in this area. And it is a dead-end road here, so it does not have access out. So the only way that you can get out of this is by turning around, coming back, and heading towards North Frontage Road. And North Frontage Road is to the left on this picture, basically to the east. There are requirements about security. The ordinance has requirements about showing a security plan. We don't want to get too specific on the security plan, so we do ask for specific requirements, but not anything that will lock the applicant down on specific locations, etc. But there are security cameras shown on this plan. There is a secure area to store the medical marijuana, and the applicant has spoken with me about these specific issues and can touch on these points a little bit more. The proposal is for 4,000 square feet of space. The applicant has let me know that he will only be using 2,000 square feet of the space. There's something in the lease agreement and how the space is laid out with an existing warehouse type use. So they're going to be using mainly this area here, which is called the storefront. It is the waiting area, the proposed showroom is below that, and then there's an office area. So there is a bathroom here, so people can utilize that, but this existing warehouse area, which is part of that 4,000 square feet, will not be used by the business, but the applicant can touch on that also. This is a graphic of kind of how the properties lay out. Again, Napomo High School is shown in blue. The reason I keep pointing out Napomo High School is there is a specific performance standard, a distance requirement that is set by ordinance that requires that the medical marijuana dispensary be 1,000 feet
from any school, preschool, and a high school is listed in that. So intervening between the medical marijuana dispensary building, which is I plotted on this graphic, is down here. The specific space is in red. So we have MAS investments located here. We have the Dana property. We have a county-owned piece of property, which is the former Pacific Coast right-of-way, Pacific Coast Railroad right-of-way, and then again the Napoleon High School. This is the specific performance standard that I just alluded to. It talks about schools, libraries, parks, playgrounds, and that leads me into our next subject of recreation and youth centers. Our department has taken a conservative stance on this position and applied recreation and youth centers to the gymnastics studio, which is approximately 94 feet away. And I'll get into that measurement in just a moment. I have some graphics on that. But that's the basis of the staff's recommendation for denial. Going along that line, the basis for that that reasoning is that children congregate in this use. There's a concentration of kids, and that's really what this distance requirement is trying to control and protect. So we can get into that issue in just a few more minutes also. So these are some measurements using Photomapper. Photomapper isn't dead on the way that the parcels are laid out, so I've also used GIS, but we've had success with the accuracy with Photomapper between 6 feet or so, plus or minus. And using not only the assessor's parcel map information, which is the line information on the map, these lines, which is the assessor's parcel map information, 1,000-foot distance is satisfied from the high school perspective. To give a little bit more information on that, I think this is too short of a distance measurement. I think that you have to come around here and then shoot down one of these streets. I think it's down here, but it does give you an idea of the road miles that you travel by car. It's going to be over 2 miles, and that would be from the front of the high school property, going over the overpass, going down Frontage Road, and going in front of the building that will house the medical marijuana dispensary. So there is quite a distance to travel. Pedestrian travel is probably not too likely, but there is a possibility of that. And going back to the gymnastics studio, again, the way that we measure is from the property line of the use that's to be protected from the building of where the medical marijuana dispensary is, and that's approximately 94 feet. The property line actually comes out to the center of the street, so that's why that dimension is so small. Physically looking at this, this measurement should probably be taken over here. This is where the gymnastics studio is. It's the same building, just mirrored here. And the gymnastics studio takes up this rectangle in the back. And I have some other photos that I've taken kind of to show how the operations go in this area. It is a commercial service area once again. There is quite a bit of activity that occurs there. I went in the morning around 8:15, again at around lunchtime, and then in the evening about 4:30. And just to give you some perspective on that, there's a lot of trucks moving around. There's a lot of employees coming back and forth. Back here, there's DirecTV, and they have probably 20 trucks moving around this area. Here is Statewide Signs. They have quite a bit of manufacturing going on there. They have trucks that do take the signs for installation also. Gibbs Trucking is here.
There's trucks coming in and out throughout the day. Down in this area is more storage area, warehousing for just public storage. And then this building seems to be vacant at this point, so this will be the only use occurring at this time.
Mr. Robertson, you did say there's an existing warehouse use there?
Yeah, that's probably not totally correct. There is a warehouse space there. I don't think it's being utilized at this time. From what I went out there yesterday and started to look at inside the windows, and it doesn't seem to be, they seem to be vacant at
okay.
this point.
And while you're on that slide, mm-hmm. what about visibility of entrances, say, from the entrance to the proposed facility
mm-hmm.
and the gymnastic studio while you're on that one?
Well, the gymnastic studio, again, it's tucked back here. This piece of this building is a tire store. So there's quite a bit of material out here, tires, old tires. So the storefront of the gymnastic studio faces into this access way.
Okay.
So the only way that you could really see the entrance to this building is by, you know, standing out in this area on the asphalt.
So coming out to that next building,
right,
that you
coming
would,
out.
The straight line that we see would be visibility across.
Right. So okay. access by car, you'd come out, and yes, there would be visibility by car to the medical marijuana dispensary.
Okay. Thanks.
This brings us to some points that we'll probably be continuing to discuss throughout the discussions that your commission has, but it's how we categorize community centers and youth slash recreation centers versus a gymnastic studio. And again, our department has taken the conservative approach to not really categorize gymnastic studios as recreation or youth centers, but to say that they are places where children congregate. So we can go over these in just a moment, or if you have any questions about those. So that brings me kind of to the final comments that I have. There was a document that your commission, I think, received yesterday. It was a list of questions from Commissioner O'Grady, and I can highlight some of those or just move on and go to the question.
Hearing that there aren't more specific questions on those, there may be others. So let's start with the commissioner from the district, Commissioner Melskow. Did you have some questions for staff at this point?
None at this point.
Okay, and so seeing a few other lights on, I see Commissioner Christensen lights on.
Yes, Mr. Robeson, thank you very much for that report. I just have a couple questions that I had asked on Monday that I didn't hear you address. Were you able to find out how many people approximately have permits in this county from Environmental Health, I think it was?
We did get a number. There's approximately 100 cards issued every year, so it's an annual number. They didn't have a total for me, but in the staff report on page 2-2, I show that the environmental health, or the health department actually started that program in 2007, so you could probably be in the range of 400 or 500 people.
Okay, and then the other question was about signage. You know, maybe the applicant will be able to answer this, but if you know if there will be any signage there or not.
There will be signage. And if you were to move for approval of the project, we could condition the signage to have specific parameters placed on it, being more professional on the font, not displaying any cannabis leaves, things like that.
Okay, thank you.
That's it for your questions for now. Okay, Commissioner White?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I just have one question on your presentation. Thank you, Mr. Robinson. And that was on the floor plan. It showed a showroom. And maybe this might be a question the applicant could speak to, but I didn't know what the showroom would be for.
Well, from my experience in researching this topic and looking at other jurisdictions, a lot of collectives have a waiting area where they screen people, make sure their cards are valid, make sure their doctor's recommendations are valid, and then they're allowed to come into the showroom area where someone that works there counsels them on what type of medical marijuana may be best for their specific needs, and they display the medical marijuana in this area, and it's kind of a buffer between just the storefront and having a window that directly displays from the street. So that's just an area where they kind of display and also do the transactions.
Okay, thank you.
That's it for your questions.
I have others, but I think I'll wait.
You'll hold off on, okay. At this point, I just had a couple more questions. Are the whether sales tax is charged on the sales?
There will be.
So would be taxed at a rate of 8.5%?
I think that's the correct percentage, but yes.
Okay. And do you have some sense of how far now the 400 to 500 issuance of cards in the county have to drive to pick up?
Well, that was a question from Commissioner O'Grady, was which is the closest collective or dispensary in our area? And there is a few in the city of Santa Barbara, which is the closest geographic area to us. Although I should make the point that the city of Santa Barbara has gone through the process of updating their ordinance pertaining to medical marijuana, and they recently adopted that. One of the stipulations that was adopted was that the people that utilize the collectives inside the city must be county residents of Santa Barbara. So you can't have outside people coming from L.A. or Oakland or San Luis Obispo, for that matter, and using those collectives. So that falls back to Oakland as being the closest area to access a dispensary or a medical marijuana collective.
Oakland, then. Okay. Thank you. So seeing no other questions at this point, we'll open it up to the applicants, and they are here.
Good morning, and thank you. My name is Rick Nisnik. I'm representative for the applicants and the owners of this proposed project. I'd like to introduce them to you briefly. I'll ask them to stand up. We have Bob Brody and Tom Meredith. If I may, I'm just going to launch into this. I'd like to tell you a little bit about Tom and Bob and who they are and why they're here, and then I'd like to discuss the project that's before you, the application that's before you. Tom Meredith is 70, Bob Brody is 65. They're either retirees or near to retirees. And like many residents of our community, our county, they're looking for a place to spend their senior years, their later years, in comfort, in a climate that's affable in this county. You've got an ordinance that was prepared and adopted within the last 4 or 5 years, Mr. Robeson, I believe. In fact, Mr. Robeson was instrumental in preparing this ordinance, which was approved by the Board of Supervisors, again, within the last 4 or 5 years. I will comment on that in a moment as to the relevance of considering the gymnastics studio as a public location as opposed to a private, and what perhaps the board's intentions were back then. But the fact is, it's not that old an ordinance, and it hasn't been permitted to be implemented yet. And the reason for that is there are very few locations where all of the requirements imposed by the ordinance come together to work. In fact, this is one such location. Very thin sliver. If it was somewhere further out in the red or the purple that you saw on the map, it wouldn't work. It's just too close to the school, which is across the freeway. At 1,050 feet as the crow flies, it barely makes that 1,000-foot requirement. And what's the purpose of that requirement? Essentially, we want to ensure that our kids are safe, that they don't have elements that we'd rather they not have available to them. 1,000 feet, somewhat arbitrary, still a requirement, notwithstanding the fact that by going surface streets and not walking across the freeway. The closest anyone could be from any corner of the high school would be a little over two miles, 10,000 feet. Still, as the crow flies, it has to satisfy the 1,000-foot requirement, and it just does here, as far as the school is concerned. I know that many of the local residents are concerned about security. In fact, the sheriff wrote a letter concerned about security of the operation. One of the conditions of this project, and if it isn't currently a condition, it certainly can and will be, is that there will be an on-site guard at all times during business hours. A private security company, Overland Security, I believe you have a letter in your packet from Overland Security. They monitor other clinics and or collectives, not in this county, and they're out of Santa Maria, but they have experience with this kind of operation. There's also a possibility that there will be roving security in addition to on-site security, as well as armed response for a period, to the extent you deem it necessary or desirable to have even more than just the on-site security. We'd be willing to consider having roving security and armed response for a time frame, depending on how that works out. Details are still in the mix. I think Bill mentioned to you the process and the site plan. You see that there's an entry area on that site plan. It's a very secure site. Cameras outside the building, cameras within the building. You've got a locked door to access the building. You cannot access the inside of the building without first being buzzed through by a security guard who has checked your identification, made sure that you're a legitimate person to be there. Of age, you have what's called your recommendation or prescription. Then you're led into this first security room, at which point you are further checked, identification, recommendation, age. You've got a legitimate doctor who's given you the recommendation, and the doctor's still around to confirm that. A lot of security making sure that nobody who is not permitted by state and local law to be there is there. Remember, this is not an illegal use of land. There are federal statutes against marijuana sale. The state, however, the people of the state of California have legalized it for medicinal purposes, and the state has dictated that each county has to implement an ordinance, which San Luis Obispo County has done, to permit the medicinal use of marijuana. It's very controversial, obviously, as you know, but all of the controversy aside, there are people that cannot survive without a prescription for THC, whether it's in smokable format, edible format, drinkable format. There's now even spray formats for spraying under your tongue. They can't eat. They can't think without this. That is why citizens of California approved this however long ago. That is why the state is requiring counties to enable a collective. And these clients aren't going to speak right now. We are going to reserve a few minutes at the end for rebuttal and for you to ask any questions of my clients, which we'd certainly entertain for any reasons. The form of the business is a collective. Part of what we're doing here are the first steps, folks. Once we know that we can actually do this business, then the details of exactly how the collective is going to work, how the taxes are going to be paid, all going to satisfy the requirements of statutes and ordinances. But the details of that for now are not written out. We don't even know if we're going to be able to do this yet, despite it being allowed by the ordinance. Finally, one thing I need to address is, there were two concerns in your staff's conclusion, one being compatibility with the neighborhood. It's a commercial neighborhood. There's some residences nearby that have no access along any of common streets. Their access is a different route. I'm not going to address that. What I'd like to address in my 30 seconds and in the few minutes I have for rebuttal later is the gymnastics, the private gymnastics. I have just a few seconds left. If your board, if the Planning Commission extends the restriction to private businesses that have children that go there, then you are precluding medical marijuana dispensaries, you're precluding the presence of collectives anywhere where there's an ice cream shop within 1,000 feet, where there is a shoe store where kids might congregate within 1,000 feet, where there's any kind of private enterprise, unlike the parks, unlike the youth centers, unlike the Cambridge definition that he showed you, that they're non-profit, public operated. Any private operated business will push an existing collective out of the location if kids can be found there.
Mr. Nisnik, you're cutting into your rebuttal time
okay.
here. Did you want another sentence?
More later, I appreciate it.
So you'll have 4 minutes at the closing time if you'd like to respond to comments made by the public.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Unless there are any questions for the applicant now. Seeing none, we'll move on and I'll open up public comment. I do have a good pile of speaker slips, looks like maybe about 10. So we do have plenty of time today and we'll allow a full 3 minutes per speaker. So with that, Mike Eisner is first, followed by Richard Wright.
Good morning to all of you, and thank you for allowing me to speak. Before I go into my comments, I would like to reference the maps that you showed, Mr. Robeson. Linden is no longer a dead-end street. It has been opened up, and Camino Caballo has been added to it. So for the commissioners, you can now go up Linden and come out Camino Caballo, so it is no longer a dead-end where they would have to come back. And it is possible that Camino Caballo will be opened up, whereby access into the residential area will be the next step, so that you will have complete access once you go ahead and leave the dispensary to go right into the community. After public testimony at the January 25th, 2010 SCAC meeting pertaining to this project presented by Mr. Brody and Mr. Meredith, the council recommended denial of this project to both the Board of Supervisors and the Planning Commission. The FCAC also recommends the Board of Supervisors revise the county's marijuana ordinance to bring it in line with the California Attorney General's August 2008 guidelines, which states that nonprofit collectives and cooperatives are permitted, but storefront dispensaries, as such, are not recognized under the law. In addition to the state law, federal law says that the sale and distribution of marijuana is illegal. The applicants have applied for a permit to set up a dispensary in the unincorporated community of Napomo. Such dispensaries are currently banned in Atascadero, San Luis Obispo, Pismo Beach, Grover Beach, Santa Maria, Guadalupe, Lompoc, Buellton, Solvang, Goleta, Carpinteria, Ventura, Oxnard, and Camarillo. Law enforcement, security, safety, crime, and public nuisances are all issues facing the communities where dispensaries exist. In addition, there are problems with loitering, robberies, resale of marijuana, drug dealing, and vandalism in the parking lots. These are all facts supported through discussions with the Sheriff's Department. At this time, I'm asking the Planning Commission to deny DRC 2009-00044. And in addition, I'm requesting that this body send a message to the Board of Supervisors asking that they declare a moratorium on applications for and then ban medical marijuana dispensaries in all unincorporated areas of the county, as most of the incorporated communities have already done. Thank you.
Thank you. I will remind everyone here today, just
decision prosecutors believe is the first to conclude that state law does not allow collectives to sell the drug, unquote. April 14th, 2010, LA Times, quote, preliminary injunction bars Venice area dispensary from selling medical marijuana. California law does not permit the sale of pot. The store was not operating as a true nonprofit collective, unquote. And in U.S. District Court, March 22nd, 2010, LA Times, quote, former owner of LA pot dispensary sentenced to 6 years in prison. U.S. District Judge Stephen Wilson labeled as not credible the defendants claim that he was operating his dispensaries as nonprofit collectives. According to prosecutors, the defendants' facilities generated more than $1.3 million in revenue during 2 years in business, unquote. I note that the applicants have indicated they were here for additional income. The second issue relates to public safety. This is a March 19, 2010, Associated Press release from San Francisco. Headlines reads, "Medical marijuana a frequent target of criminals." And the first paragraph is, quote, "Patients, growers, and clinics in some of the 14 states that allow medical marijuana are increasingly falling victim to robberies, home invasions, shootings, and even murders at the hand of pot thieves. There are dozens of cases in recent months alone," unquote. And I have handed copies of those press releases to the board this morning. In closing, I would just say that since medical marijuana dispensaries are currently prohibited in surrounding areas to the South County, that it's only appropriate and proper that the Napomo area deserves the same protection, and I urge the commission to deny this application. Thank you.
Thank you. Michael Murphy, followed by Ed Eby.
My name is Michael Murphy. I am the SCAC chairman in Napomo. And on January 25th, we held our advisory meeting, and we considered the project application for Robert Brody. And we unanimously voted to deny his application. Now, this was based on the fact that we represent the constituents in the South County, and we listened to testimony from over 25 different individuals. It was quite a meeting. And because we represent their interests, you know, that's why we voted unanimously to deny this permit. Some of the reasons for that was the impact on our law enforcement resources, which are next to nothing. I think we have two sheriffs that patrol that area intermittently, and certainly you're not going to be around if there's problems. I would like to make one comment, though. We asked him, Mr. Brody, many detailed questions about his business, and he was not very knowledgeable about his business, and I would recommend that you take into consideration that this is a very unique business, and it can cause a lot of problems. And lack of experience in operating this kind of business can cause a lot of law enforcement problems. In addition to the fact that at that time we asked him these detailed questions, he never offered the additional security that he talked about today. So from a humanitarian standpoint, which I don't believe is his motivation, I would have thought that, and had he had the experience, that he would have offered that security at that time to the SCAC. There is a real concern about the safety of the community because of the law, the lack of law enforcement resources. And it's a violation of the law. There's been plenty of precedent been set from San Luis Obispo to Camarillo. Every community between here and there has denied medical marijuana dispensaries. And the fact is that they can't be controlled. We don't get the support just because the state dictates to cities and counties that they have to. They have to provide an ordinance for these types of businesses doesn't mean that we really want to accept those types of businesses. It's just that we're forced to do that. Planning commissions are forced to come up with plans on how to handle these types of things, but it doesn't mean that that's what they look forward to. So I think that considering the fact that it was a unanimous vote, that it would be a travesty to ignore the SCAC recommendations and the voice of the people that we serve. Thank you.
Mr. Murphy, excuse me before you sit down. Sure. Did I hear you say that none of the security measures that are now proposed as part of the project were introduced at the advisory council
meeting?
He
had mentioned that he had a consultant who was overseeing his security, but having an on-site person or even this roaming security was not offered at that time.
So the project as we see it wasn't discussed at that time.
Correct.
To the Napomo residents care about. These marijuana stores attract crime. Every robber knows that every person coming out of these stores is going to have marijuana, and that's a commodity that too many people are willing to kill for. In Monday's Wall Street Journal, there was an informative article on Montana's problem with medical marijuana. Montana, like Napomo, is rural. Let me read from the article. Kalispell, which is a city in Montana, recently banned any new medical marijuana stores in the city following the bludgeoning death of a patient that authorities believe was related to the theft of medical marijuana plants. We know from experience that most of the customers of these stores are males between the ages of 18 and 30. It's hardly a demographic for terminally ill cancer patients. Another observation from the Wall Street Journal, same article. Before the doors even open, the parking lot has 300 kids throwing frisbees and playing hacky sack, said Mark Long, narcotics chief for the Montana Department of Justice. There are simple reasons why you should refuse to approve this minor use permit. The page 2-41 in your package gives six reasons, all of which must be followed for you to approve this MUP. Condition C says that it shall not be detrimental to the health of the general public and the neighborhood. This use is detrimental to the welfare of the children in the adjacent gymnastics facility. The use has been demonstrated to be detrimental to the safety of people in similar neighborhoods. The sheriff has stated that he cannot provide on-site security to prevent robbery. Condition D talks about consistency with the character of the immediate neighborhood. This is not consistent. There are no other Class 1 dope stores in the neighborhood. Condition E talks about generation of unsafe increase in the volume of traffic, reference to 300 kids in the parking lot waiting for the store to open. This should be easy. Please deny this permit.
Thank you. Linda Pruitt, followed by L.J. Hansen. Welcome.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I haven't got anything prepared. I'm just here to speak from my heart. My husband and I, we own the property on Linden Lane. We own the Napomo Industrial Park where the gymnasium is situated. It's been there for about 3 years, I think. I think they have mommy and me classes, and they have preschool through teenage. We also have the Napomo Self-Storage, which is just down the block from there. And, you know, we have opened up that road. We finished off two vacant lots there, and we did the improvements. So the road is opened, and it is through to Camino Caballo. About a year and a half ago, my husband were approached by the same, I don't know whether it was the same gentleman, but another marijuana dispensary wanting to lease from us in our industrial park. And we didn't even think of it for 2 seconds. We love the Napomo community. We respect the people there. We respect the other businesses that are in that area and denied it immediately. So we have the opportunity of making money, and we would like to make money for our retirement also. You know, I just don't think that this is a very good situation there. It's not good for Napomo. I can't think of any of the benefits for having something like this in Napomo. And being a resident of San Luis Obispo County for 30 years and living in Napomo for 18 years, I raised my children there, I know what kind of community it is. It's a wonderful community to live in. There's residential all around that commercial property. They do walk. They walk their dogs. They push their children in their strollers. And we also have Cruise America that we rent out there, which is recreational vehicles. The families that are waiting for their vehicles to go on vacation, their children are running around there playing on the lawn. I mean, so there's a lot of activity going on in that area. It's not just a commercial property. That's all I'd like to say, and I thank you for listening.
Thank you. L.J. Hansen, followed by Hans Hansen.
My name is L.J. Hansen, rural Arroyo Grande. I am on the SCAC. I am also co-chair of the land use. Basically, all I have to say is I don't know why we're here, because this is illegal. It's a federal offense to have these places. So, you know, I think we should just deny it and leave it at that. Thank you.
Brief. Thank you for your brevity there. Hans Hansen, followed by Michael Wynn.
My name is Hans Hansen, rural Arroyo Grande. I make it very short here. I agree with Mr. Eisner, and I agree with Mr. Wright about it. So I hope you deny this. Like Mr. Ed Eby said, it's a crime magnet, and we don't need it in South Bend.
We do not believe that they are so foolish as to begin a business without one, but they won't show it to you. As their attorney said to you this morning, they have not organized a collaborative or a collective, and they don't have that information for you today, but if you say yes, they'll comply with the law afterwards. We think compliance is a part of planning. We think compliance is something that you should have before you vote yes. Secondly, you have expert testimony has been given to you that this is not safe for our community. We do not have a sheriff station in Napomo. The nearest sheriff substation is in Oceano. It's 20 to 30 minutes away. And our problem is that when things happen, and things do happen in the vicinity of these, the statistics are quite clear, they would not be able to get there in time. The security people will tell you, if you question them, that their video cameras will be monitored over 100 miles away, and that they would call somebody who then would respond. This is way too short. Third, this is a gray area in the law between federal law and state law. You have in your packet the Attorney General's opinion, which I know is not settled law, but it does give good advice from Jerry Brown, who understands the situation, saying this is not what the voters intended when they approved it. And last, the county ordinance clearly, when it talks about schools, playgrounds, other such things, it does not limit it to public facilities. It talks about all kinds of facilities that attract and have children. And this is clearly 250 feet away is a gymnasium that specializes before school, during school for small children, after school for up to teens, children who want to study gymnastics. We think this is a clear violation of the county ordinance. We would urge you to find that and to deny them up. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wynn. Last speaker slip I have is from Elaine Thomas.
Elaine Thomas, resident of Napomo. And we have a resounding no from our community for this kind of a store. We have two policemen, usually one, but two sometimes available that cover Oceano, Napomo, and Wasna. This is entirely too wide a range to have immediate help at a facility like this. It was pointed out at the SCAC meeting that the predominant customers of this type of store are males 18 to 33 years old, and this does not speak of terminal illness. I urge you, for all the above reasons that you've heard so far this morning, to please deny this application.
Thank you, Ms. Thomas. Anyone else who'd like to speak to this who hasn't gotten a slip in? Come on up.
Thank you.
Hand your slip in on this side. If anyone else would like to speak to this, work your way up to the front now. Sir.
Good morning. My name is Dick Stepanian. I'm a resident of Napomo. In fact, I live on Sandy Dale, less than a half a mile, between a quarter and a half a mile from the proposed site. One of the things that hasn't been mentioned so far this morning is the fact that there is a bus system, the community bus system for the children. It comes down Sandy Dale and goes down Frontage Road. And the children meet on Sandy Dale, less than 200 yards from the corner, every morning to get on the bus. So that's another factor to be considered as far as the children in the community. Thank you. I suggest and recommend a no vote.
Thank you. Sir?
I didn't know there was a waiting list for the speaking today. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'll fill this out after.
Okay, after you're done, just tell us who you are.
My name is Don DiBernardi. I'm a 42-year resident of Napomo, California, and I'm here to speak against the dispensary in Napomo. I spoke twice at the Napomo meetings, and I'll speak again today. I'm a compassionate person. I feel for the people that have to use medical marijuana to take care of their pain or whatever they have. But I basically wear two hats, or I used to wear one hat, which was a school board member two-term school board member of Napomo. In fact, I'm surprised somebody from the school district isn't here speaking today to you, but I'm not official. But I'll tell you one thing, if I was on the school board, I would be telling you right now that this is a magnet for kids and young kids. Just pure curiosity would attract them over there. My other hat is I'm the grandfather of three children going to that gymnastics school, and I've been there numerous times. Last weekend, for example, there were seven teams from all over the state, as far away as they come from, as far away as Los Angeles.
One, I'll close the public comment and bring it back to the applicants. Have four more minutes of their time if they'd like to respond to any of the comments made by the public. Come on up.
Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity to speak. The overriding issue that I see is...
Could you please...
My name is Robert Brody.
Thank you.
I'm obviously the gentleman that's petitioned for this dispensary. And I wanted to read from you, out of the LA Daily News, the January quote from the police chief of Los Angeles, Chief Beck. I have it here, if you'd like to see it. Pot clinics not plagued by crime. Despite neighborhood complaints, most medical marijuana clinics are not typically the magnets for crime that critics often portray, according to Los Angeles Police Chief Charles Beck. Banks are more likely to get robbed than medical marijuana dispensaries, Beck said, at a recent meeting with editors and reporters of the Los Angeles Daily News. Opponents of the pot clinics complain that they attract a host of criminal activity to the neighborhoods, including robberies. But a report that Beck recently had the department generate looking at city-wide robberies in 2009 found simply that wasn't the case. In 2009, the LAPD received reports of 71 robberies at more than 350 banks in the city, compared to 47 robberies at marijuana clinics that number at least 800. The chief said in a following-up interview in which he provided statistics from a report, and basically he said that he thought the comparison of banks and medical marijuana dispensary was appropriate because there are similarities as potential targets. Both have large sums of cash and are often heavily fortified. So basically what he said is that all this magnet for crime is not reality. It's people's imagination at what could happen. And I'm sensitized to that as a person, as a father with two children, and hopefully one day a grandparent. But all I can say is that this dispensary is for people that have doctors' recommendations that are sick. And sickness does not discriminate against a child with leukemia or an older person that's whatever the malady is where the doctor recommended this type of medicinal help. You cannot walk in off the street into this dispensary as we have it planned. You will have to be buzzed in before you even get to qualify to go into the showroom, for one of a better nature of a word, or where we will display the different types of marijuana, the donation or purchase, which is really a purchase, can be made, and they leave. There's no loitering, there's no nothing. And as a county, you had the foresight to put in regulations. Not like the city of L.A., which turned into an absolute zoo with people not having any business license, any nonprofit status with the state, have had no, they shouldn't even be in business, and rightfully so, they've been closed up. That is not what we're proposing. We're proposing a complete, by state legal law and by the voters of the state, to give safe access to those that are sick, and only those. And that's all I don't know what else to say. The people coming to this dispensary will be your neighbors, will be people in your own community that are afraid to get the medicinal marijuana that they really need. They're afraid because of what's happened in the past and the negative attitude where it should have been positive. And I hope you never have the need for any of it. Thank you.
just if I may, in the minute that remains to me.
Excuse me.
That's fine.
If you'll hold up for a moment.
Although I had a question for Mr. Brody.
Oh, okay. If you'll hold that for a moment, or
looks like
he's
they're ready.
Back. Okay. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Brody. It seems to be some testimony, and I even have some questions in the staff report about the conflict that appears to be between that this is to be a closed-loop, non-profit, collective-type of situation where only the actual patients or the caregivers are to be involved,
and
it's
correct.
Not a for-profit business. The first question would be, do you qualify as one of those closed-loop participants? Are you a caregiver or a patient?
The answer to that is we will adhere to every attorney general guideline, including the closed-loop part of obtaining the medicinal marijuana for sale. I mean, the answer is yes. I mean, if we don't, we get closed down and we're gone.
I guess my specific question is you personally, are you a patient? Or
yes, I have a... And
I understand. Thank you. But to follow up on that, I do understand the nonprofit aspect described for ordinary business and so forth. But beyond that, in my staff report, it pointed out that the only... You know, the law would allow for the caregivers to be paid for their services, but it's not to be a money-making operation is not the intent, even though it may technically fall under your definition of that nonprofit. My question was, how do you reconcile that? Because I'm looking at this, and earlier your representative stated that, you know, you're looking to make some money here, and that's...
Well, in order to run any cooperative or collective, which is a type of corporation deemed by the state, we have to pay bills. So there has to be money that's made in order to pay rent, electricity, and all the normal costs of running any business.
Well, that's...
And then at the end of the year, if there is profit, it's to be distributed by the way that the state statutes govern dispensing profit from a non-profit. It usually goes back into the business. It's reinvested in the community in certain instances where there's extra money. I mean, I know that we have plans. I don't want to get into this. People are, how do you say it? As an individual, I would like to be taken at my word. And when people say I'm doing things and they're questioning my motive, I would say to you, you can ask me any question you want. I'll be happy to answer it if I have an answer. And I'll be honest, if I don't have an answer, I'm not going to make one up. Because there are many unanswered questions about what we're doing because of the nature of it's new in the state. I mean, it's not, we haven't been doing this 100 years, so there are going to be changes overall. We know that. It's just the nature of the way things are in life. Things change all the time.
Well, maybe I'll try to ask it one more different way here.
Salary.
Yeah, I think you're trying to get on.
You guys are on the same
profit, non-profit.
One of the costs of doing a business is salary.
Well,
people
I was going to restructure the question, and I guess what I'm getting here when I'm reading this is that the true intent of the law was not for it to be any type of business. It was for a group of people to get together and grow their own marijuana and share it amongst themselves or whatever they needed to do, and as a humanitarian effort, not as a business. And that's where I see the conflict here. Is how maybe I'm missing something here.
Well,
but how do you reconcile the implied intent of a humanitarian effort versus a business venture?
Well, myself and my partner will be employees of the collective. As anyone else, if we grow and need more employees, we will hire those people at a good wage to work in that dispensary. And that's it. In other words, it's like any other business. It'll have structure as far as who makes what, as far as income. But at this point, we're really rolling the dice because we don't know. We'd like to think we're going to be very successful. I don't know anybody goes into business or opens up any kind of establishment that looks to fail. So with that said, we want to be successful. How successful? I don't know. We don't know numbers. These are numbers that are they're not available to us.
Okay,
so I want to say we'll be employees. Going to run it structurally. We'll be subject to all the accountancies and everything from the state and the board of. And the tax people, just like any other business, we're paying taxes. And
well, I guess the answer to my question is you don't see it as a strictly humanitarian effort. You do see it as a business. And my question was specifically,
well, it's a business.
How do you reconcile that implied intent?
It's a business that's set up for humanitarian efforts, like United Way.
I understand.
So maybe we can have more of a discussion about this profit, nonprofit status and intent as we get into discussion here. I think we've heard the best. So we have one more minute if you wanted to take after the question to sum up. Mr. Essex. Oh, another question for, the applicant here.
Yes, Mr. Brody, I do need to ask my question with respect to nonprofit, and I would ask it this way. Do you intend to apply for exempt status with the IRS?
I don't know that that decision's been made yet. I don't know that. If I may?
Yes, you will come to the mic and tell us who you
Rick
are.
Rick
we're
again.
Switching off.
What we intend to do is satisfy the state statute, the local ordinances with regard to how this needs to be run. There haven't been decisions made yet as to the exact form of the co-op or corporation that will be formed to operate this. But part of the issue is all of that would be done once we know we can actually go with this kind of project. And so it's a lot more investment of time and effort and resources without yet knowing what
okay.
we're doing. And with my minute, if I may, I just want to address, I spoke about my clients moving here, and they're still going to need to make an income because, though they're semi-retired, that was misinterpreted, or in particular. Again, available for questions, anything else.
Thank you, Mr. Nysnik. I think we've got that. It's a little past time for our break, so let's break now and come back at 10:45. Come back here, we'll reconvene this meeting. People work their way back into the room. He's here. We could just chit-chat for a while longer here about ethics and morality and efficiency and other matters. Okay, working our way back, we'll bring it back to staff and see if staff has any answers to questions or responses to comments made. Mr. Robeson.
Thank you, Chairperson Wyatt. There's a few things I'd like to touch upon because there are some reoccurring issues that were brought up. And if we could bring the screen up, I'd like to show the Attorney General's document that was put out, and we can kind of go over a few things there. I know that the nonprofit operation was talked about. I'm not sure if I have an answer for that, but to go to Commissioner White's issues, it does say that nothing in Proposition 215 or in the medical marijuana program authorizes collectives, cooperatives, or individuals to profit from the sale or distribution of marijuana. So that reinforces that fact. Although, from my experience in dealing with other nonprofit organizations, there is the salary issue that comes up, and what is a reasonable salary? That's something that I can't answer, but it's something that we can continue to take a look at. I'd like to move down the document a little bit and go through. There were some comments that dispensaries are illegal, and that's not totally true. And I'd like to point to a section in the document under enforcement guidelines, and it really goes directly to storefront dispensaries. And it says that dispensaries really aren't the correct term, basically. But it goes on to say it is the opinion, and it starts here. And I can make this larger if you think that that would help.
Can people see it? I think we can see it okay.
Okay.
Not seeing anyone squinting. And we have it in our staff reports.
I think it's on page 240 of the staff report.
Yes, thank you. So I'm reading right here. It says, it is the opinion of this office that a properly organized and operated collective or cooperative that dispenses medical marijuana through a storefront may be lawful under California law. But that dispensaries that do not substantially comply with the guidelines set forth in a few sections in the, early in the document are likely operating outside of the protections of Proposition 215 and the medical marijuana program. So, if the collective is set up as a collective in the true sense and a nonprofit, then our council and at least the council that I was advised by, and Mr. Orton can comment if you'd like, and the document itself and the Attorney General's advice is saying that they can be run in a lawful manner. So I just like to put that out there for your commission, and I can move on to a couple other things. I think one gentleman said that 8 pounds was allowed by per patient. The actual is 8 ounces per by state law.
8 ounces per what period?
For possession at any given time. So it's eight ounces if they were pulled over by a policeman or and searched or something like that.
That would be the law in possession, but so there's no actual ruling on
how much you have in your home. Yeah, that is a gray area. They don't dictate how much you can have in your house or as the collective goes. So that's something that I've never found any limits on. Just to go, I think you've seen in the staff report that I've kind of alluded to the fact that I've discussed issues with Santa Barbara County on specific points. And a question was asked by Commissioner O'Grady as to...
Melskow, and then I see Commissioner White's light is on.
I don't have any questions.
No questions at this point? No. Okay, Commissioner White.
Yes, Mr. Robeson, thank you. I guess my question is your last point with the City of Santa Barbara. Who monitors and regulates? Would that be something in our purview to condition the project in such a way? Or who would monitor and regulate that it's in compliance?
City staff does monitoring of the dispensaries, I think, on an annual basis. And they can go in with a search warrant if that's needed. And the police department also does monitoring of the dispensaries.
Thank you.
I think you asked if that can be... Did you ask about conditions? Is that...
Yes, I asked if that's in our purview to condition it in
it
such
is.
A way that it would be...
So, yeah, there can be conditions of approval that require reporting and monitoring annually or other types of monitoring that your commission
sees
fit.
Okay, other questions for staff at this point? Yeah. Commissioner O'Grady.
Mr. Robeson, there used to be a medical marijuana facility in Morro Bay. It was shut down, I believe, by the county sheriff in conjunction with the FBI. Wouldn't that be another avenue for enforcement of a lawful operation of the subject medical marijuana facility?
Sure. Yes, I think actually the DEA was involved, maybe the FBI also. Those are federal agencies that can certainly come in and start to enforce federal law as well as state law when it comes to violations of state law and local law.
Other questions, Commissioner Grady? Is that your list for now? Okay. Commissioner Christensen, other questions at this point?
Not at this point. They were answered just now. I wanted to ask about law enforcement experience in Santa Barbara and I wanted to ask about, you know, there is a difference between, as I understand it, a storefront dispensary where you can just basically walk in and purchase medical marijuana because you sign forms there, and what we're talking about here, which is more of a membership type of thing where you can't just walk in, you have to be identified, and you have to have your permission beforehand, and they can't just kind of budget. So,
I think you're correct, and I think the first description that you gave, I don't think that those are legal anymore.
Correct. That's what I've been reading, the Attorney General's opinion. That's
yes.
What I thought, too. Okay. So you answered my questions.
Okay. I just had a couple at this point then. So we talked a bit about nonprofit status, and I think that's the intent of the Attorney General's in saying no in profits, but I don't see a reading then that's actually requiring a nonprofit status of the collective. Is that something that we could condition in, that the collective be a nonprofit 501c3 business? Is that something we have the authority to do?
From my point of view, yes.
And Mr. Orton, is that...
I believe you could require it to be conditioned to comply with the Attorney General's guidelines of either a cooperative or a collective as defined in those sections. I think that, you know, what you're acting on here today is the recommendation for denial. If you should cover that issue. If you feel that the project... should not be denied, then it should be referred back to staff to do an environmental determination, and in connection with that, it would and continue the hearing, and you'd come back with conditions at a later time.
Well, so that moves us into another question then. So if we did move toward away from denial and toward approving the project, that's not an option. We wouldn't have the option to do that today.
I don't believe so, no. I think you'd have to refer it back to staff, let the staff do an initial study, and then staff would come back with conditions at some future meeting.
Madam Chair, if I may, John Nall, Department of Planning and Building. The only way that we could bring you back findings and conditions today would be to make a determination that this project is exempt from the California Environmental Quality Act. That would be the way to do that.
I would just, Jim Orton from County Council's office, just indicate I think there's been enough testimony submitted today that may raise an issue that would need to be looked back more carefully, and I would recommend not making such a determination, but submitting it back to staff and let them go through the process.
And so, Madam Chair, our recommendation, if your commission were to go that direction, would be to continue it off calendar, because if we went back and made a determination that it is exempt from CEQA, we could bring it back fairly soon. If we did not make that determination and decided that it was necessary to prepare a
language and what a recreation or youth facility is, that's up to your determination to decide, and of course the other findings that are recommended by staff.
Yeah, so that's what we have to get to soon, coming soon, really, is that issue of the recreation center, I think, maybe. But one more question for staff, Mr. Robeson. We've heard several people testify about this being a crime magnet, and I'm sorry to note no one's here from the Sheriff's Department today to speak to that issue and experience directly sort of on that matter. But and the issue of the area and how this might affect adjacent uses, both residential, commercial, children from the gym, I'm just curious. I guess I'm not really sure how I see the effect, because I see this operation, as explained by the applicants, as being a locked door that only people with cards can get in, and the locked door opens to a waiting room, and there's no drug paraphernalia allowed to be sold other than THC-containing items, which are in a back room and not visible from the outside. Behind another locked door. Right, so I guess I'm a little unclear between the public testimony or fear and the likely reality. Am I mistaken in thinking people come and drive in and get screened by the security guard and then come out and go with maybe a paper bag in their hands? Or what would someone see from the street or adjacent businesses?
That's a question I'm not sure if I can answer. I've never really experienced or firsthand utilizing a collective, but the way that they're supposed to work is they're supposed to be innocuous. They're supposed to not have people loitering in the parking lot. Someone's supposed to go in, be screened, have a legitimate doctor's recommendation, and then be allowed to obtain the medical marijuana and then leave quickly. It's somewhat speculation to say that there's going to be criminal activity. at this location, although there is, it's not unreasonable to think that there will be criminal activity at this location either. But I believe that the proof is in the time that we see how this medical marijuana dispensary operates into the future. And there's been some emails to me talking about monitoring the medical marijuana dispensary annually, and I think I mentioned that from the city of Santa Barbara, and that's kind of the way that they want to take care of things. If they are having problems with one, there's loitering or vandalism, I think one of the public comments was, then they're going to address that, and if it continues, or if there's even more significant criminal activity, then they'll move to close that because it's not meeting the intent and the conditions of approval that were set forth in their approval process. So that's an option that we can take.
Okay. And I guess to put that in perspective, I know it's difficult without someone from the sheriff's here, but would you expect this would be different than a commercial pharmacy or a bank? We've heard some comparisons of them getting robbed. I know the pharmacy down the street for me has been broken into and robbed recently. Would you expect some difference between those operations? Or
no, I don't. And I expect that possibly if there is expanded security with an armed but uniformed guard and possibly patrol response or patrol regular patrolling of the area with alarmed response, then it could be even more secure. But you know, again, the proof is going to come out as the time goes by on the operation of this dispensary. So.
Thank you. So, tough ones there. Other questions for staff?
Yes, I did recall one other question. Mr. Robeson, we heard Mr. Nisnik, if I apologize if I pronounced that name wrong, but he spoke to, his opinion was that locating MMDs is problematical under our ordinances, and gave examples of other types of retail retail stores where children would be present, and that would preclude the location of MMDs within 1,000 feet of those stores. That was one of the questions that I had.
So they're going through their due diligence on trying to find out if it's even feasible or if that location meets the ordinance standards. And out of the 25, this is the only one that I found. The others have a library close by, a school, or a public park, something like that that's going to preclude them from locating. So I'm not sure if I answered your question, but
Partly, if
yes.
I could
please
add. There, as I understand the ordinances, there are two categories that presently in which medical marijuana dispensaries are presently allowed: commercial service, which is what this is, and commercial and retail (CR). So, outside of the central business district, which at some point here we might want to see a map of what defines the Napomo central business district. As I understand it, for retail, MMDs would be allowed in retail areas outside of the commercial business district, and the 1,000-foot limitation would not apply except for those named schools, recreation facilities that are explicitly named in the ordinance. And so I'd like some confirmation or rejection of my understanding from you, if possible.
I think the question is going to whether or not other retail uses that attract children are
a toy store, a
sure.
hobby shop, an ice cream store, a grocery store.
Those are not worked into the ordinance to have a distance requirement set. So the gray area comes, I mean, ice cream stores are not, candy stores, bike shops, things like that, where, or skateboard shops where kids congregate. Those are not delineated as youth centers, but the gray area comes when you have a karate or a martial arts studio or a dance studio where kids come, and the gymnastic studio that's been discussed where there's 180 kids there at one given time. That's the point where your commission has to decide on whether or not that's a youth or recreation center.
So I would suggest that's where we're at. That's the question at hand. What we've heard from staff and council and testimony, this can meet the letter of our county code. And so, you know, we have the discretionary power here to interpret how we want to make the call on this private gymnasium that is within the 1,000 square feet. So,
Madam Chair, if I could just expand Jim Orton from County Council's office again. I think it's up to you to interpret what is meant by a recreation or youth center, and the other businesses that Mr. Nisnik referred to that may have children available that may not fit within that category. You would have to be looking at them with regard to the finding of subdivision C, as it, you know, the general finding on page 241 are the findings that are required for approval of a minor use permit. And so I guess the point I was saying, either it fits within the category of C1 on page 218, the distance, the 1,000 feet, and if it's not one of those, you know, then that wouldn't be a ground for denial, but then you'd still have to look at the other findings.
Right, understood. Everyone understands that distinction and those two levels. I would suggest then the one that staff has brought up here clearly is this one of what's meant by recreation or youth center, and is our close call. So maybe we could start on this one, since it seems like the big one, and go from there. Does the commissioner from the district want to offer up some kind of call on that, whether you see this call that staff has made? In the spirit of kind of intent of the code, that whether this private gymnasium qualifies?
Well, yeah, I think staff has analyzed this correctly. I think the youth center is, even though it's not public, it is definitely a congregation of youth, and I just see it as a conflict. Being that close, I can't in good conscience come to approval on this because of that. That's the drawback I have.
So you see that as an issue. Does someone want to express some other opinion or have some other ideas on that?
Yeah, I disagree. I don't think that's... I look upon a recreation or youth center as it's written in this ordinance as being a public place where medical treatment by our citizens. So that's kind of where I'm at. I believe that something could be crafted.
Okay. The other commissioners want to weigh in here? I think before we get into crafting conditions, okay, we need to take a straw poll and see whether we have a majority that's interested in bringing this back or not denying this. So want to weigh in, Commissioner White?
Yes, thank you. I'll weigh in. You know, I certainly understand the humanitarian need for this, and it just right now we're focused on the youth center. Obviously, gymnastics is recreation. There's nothing that I read here on page 218 that says it has to be public. There can be preschools and other schools that aren't public that would also qualify under this. So I'm taking the broader interpretation that this isn't limited to just public facilities. And I think the analogy of a private school would go to substantiate that point. So I am going to have to go along with staff's recommendation. And beyond that, I know we're focused on the recreation center right now, but the community, as far as compatibility in the neighborhood, the community has been here to speak, and they're telling us it's not compatible. So far be it from me to say it is when they're saying it's not. So I can't make the finding that it's compatible with the existing neighborhood either. So that's my position.
Commissioner O'Grady?
I think it's absurd to draw any distinction between children that attend private schools and public schools, and to view the safety of those two groups any differently. And so that's one reason why I believe the ordinance, besides Commissioner White saying the word public does not appear there, why I believe the ordinance does not intend to limit the application of the 1,000-foot distance to public facilities. I think it would have been very easy to say so if that were the intent. I also note that many of the types of schools mentioned, for example, preschools, many of them are privately owned. I come from areas of the country where there are increasing number of charter schools that are privately owned. And so my judgment, or discretion, if you will, here is that 1,000 feet foot distance does apply. Now, what does it apply to? That there is the only building or use within that 1,000 feet that has been mentioned by staff or that I could identify that might apply to the type of activity implied by any of the types of uses listed in the ordinance would be recreation. I do believe that a gymnasium, in this case a gymnastics studio, falls into the definition of recreation, and therefore I also believe that the 1,000 foot distance specifically applies to the gymnastics studio. Therefore, I could support a finding that is limited to those two points. I don't believe I could support a finding about incompatibility with the neighborhood. Oh, I should add also that my previous questions for staff that had to do with where else would an MMD facility be located, sometimes you have to be careful what you wish for. I can think of other locations, for example, in retail areas where an MMD might be determined by the governing bodies, this one and other, that might actually be approvable and not subject to the 1,000 foot. And from what I've heard from the community today, it would sound to me like that would not be a desirable outcome either. So. We're charged here with focus just on this particular location and this particular dispensary, and so what I said before about the finding is about as far as I can go at this point. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner O'Grady. So with that, I'm hearing that we have a straw poll, is a de facto moratorium, really, on any of these businesses. And I think that's a sad sort of possible reality for the people in pain, terminal illness and chronic pain, who can use this kind of help. So I think that's the bigger issue that maybe will get discussed at some later date, but not relevant to this specific project, maybe. I guess I'd like to see us be a little more honest about this. If we have so many users, that somehow I'd like to open that up at some point. On the level of trip reduction, if we know we have so many cards distributed in this county, it's a lot of trips for people to be commuting out of the county to fulfill their recommendations. And so I'm sorry to suspect that this may go the way that we're not going to get these anywhere. So with hearing that we have three commissioners agreeing on findings for denial, maybe what we should do is go to the findings, because I'm hearing some dissension on what we want those findings to say. So I'm hearing agreement basically on the first or second finding. I'm not to my page yet, but maybe we can all open our pages. And those commissioners who... To our staff report 2-8 for anybody who's looking at this. Looking at the conditions, what I heard was three votes for the finding C of technical consistency with ordinance, but spirit inconsistency. So am I hearing three commissioners supportive of that finding C as written?
I support it.
I have a few modest suggestions to reword that slightly.
Okay, reword finding C?
Yes.
Okay, if you will read those and we'll see if you have
If I could just interrupt, I do have the findings up on the screen, so if you'd like to look at those, and the public out in the audience can take a look at them also. So finding C is located here, and thank you.
Thank you.
Bill, maybe you could blow that up a little bit.
Commissioner Grady, and if you want to read in your suggested changes.
Okay.
See if that works for people.
I would like to start with, the proposed project or use is not consistent with the San Luis Obispo Land Use County Land Use Ordinance because the proposed MMD does not meet the minimum distance requirement of 1,000 feet as measured from the property line of an existing gymnasium to the building the MMD is located in, period. There is a gymnastic studio that is 94 feet from the proposed location. This studio is used by children in the same way that a recreation or youth center would be used. In fact, I'd like to say in a similar way. And then in conclusion, therefore, the proposed project does not meet the intent of the ordinance requirement, which was to separate dispensaries from uses where children, I would like to say from recreational, well, not just from uses where children would be present.
Okay, so before we get those exact, the exact wording in, let me see if there's some kind of majority agreement to strengthen up that wording that would include the gymnasium in the
I agree with the strengthening of the language for the very reasons I laid out when I gave my position, because I do believe it fits in our ordinance, and this seems to indicate that technically it may not, where I believe that technically it does. So I support Commissioner O'Grady's recommendations.
Okay. And
yeah,
Commissioner Moskow also?
Yeah.
Okay. And I guess just for the record, two of us wouldn't want to go that way. Yeah. So I'm hearing a majority in favor of that. So if Commissioner O'Grady could again read those words, we'll make sure we get them into the record and typed in here the way that commissioners want to see. So are you ready, Mr. Robeson? Are you not getting into the document to make
sure? No, I just got the keyboard. I'll
okay, you're straight now.
I will warn you, though, what we're thinking is Commissioner Grady's wording is a fairly extensive change, and I wonder if we might be able to take a break if we're actually going to change the wording and put it up on the screen.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sure.
I mean, the other way to do it is to recognize what he read into the record, but if you'd like to see the final language on the screen, then I think we probably ought to take a short break.
Okay, well, maybe there are
after
other changes, so it may be helpful if there are other changes to have the break time.
That would be
so
great.
So for now, let's leave it. Because.
And then D, I don't know that that's necessary, a finding, since we have C, but Mr. Orton maybe could weigh in. Is D necessary or not?
I think it gives an additional reason, and
okay.
I would recommend including it in.
Okay.
Okay, but I would like to see some changes to that, because I think D is vague, and we have not had any testimony here from the Sheriff's Department about security measures. The applicant has proposed additional security measures. So
yeah,
I would also support a change to that.
Yeah, I was proposing to scratch, starting with the Sheriff's Department, scratch all of that.
Okay, so you would scratch from that.
Right.
But we have had testimony here a year or two ago on this very thing. When the one was proposed in Templeton, the sheriff did give testimony that does increase crime.
Again, a few commissioners weren't here for that hearing. The sheriff isn't here today, and this is a separate project with possibly different security measures proposed.
In our staff report, it does, and we've had testimony from the public here today about the lack of a sheriff substation. And so the sheriff is on the record as saying that, you know, that he's in agreement with this finding that we have here as is. So I have no problem leaving it in there. But,
okay, I would just suggest that staff has pointed out from calls to Santa Barbara and discussions that dispensaries that are not, you know, operating within the Attorney General's guidelines have had problems. Staff has pointed out here before us today that those operating within guidelines haven't had a lot of problems.
That is true, but that just contradicts your other point about this isn't an accurate analogy to the Templeton project. Santa Barbara has immediate police response, whereas Napomo is a remote rural area, and we've heard the testimony here that they do not have the sheriff's substation 20 minutes away.
Commissioner White, unless we're going to vote on each of these particular findings, I would just say that the Sheriff's Department has stated basically it's we're not really finding anything here the way this is written. It's just saying that the Sheriff's Department has stated something. It's a statement of fact. But if the implication of including it is that a particular commissioner like myself agrees that's a problematical here, then I couldn't vote to deny this if that's in there. So, as I said before, the only finding that at least I'm prepared to make at this time has to do with the children and the proximity of the proposed MMD to the recreational location of the gymnastics studio where children are present. If there's anything else in there, and I couldn't vote for it, and I guess we'd have to vote on it one at a time.
Madam Chair, Jim Orton from County Council, if I could just add, I think there's some conflicting evidence in the record about, and I would also indicate on page 223, there's a letter from the sheriff that Bill included that in the third paragraph mentions some security measures, so I just wanted to point that to your attention.
Thank you. I think that's the case. That's exactly what we're hearing is some conflicting evidence. So,
could I respond to Mr. O'Grady's comments? Because that was a question, Dan, that I had for you when we initially made our positions known here, and you said you could not support the incompatibility of the neighborhood. It appears that the fact that the gymnastics studio is there is what creates the incompatibility.
That's what I said. I thought maybe I didn't. That I don't have a problem with finding incompatibility due to the presence of the gymnastics studio. But when the sheriff's department portion of that finding is added, that basically the subject is crime. I'm not prepared to make a finding about crime.
Oh, I see.
Mr. White, that's the distinction between finding D and finding E.
I misunderstood what you said. I thought you said you couldn't support the incompatibility of the neighborhood.
I probably didn't make it clear. I'm sorry.
No, I probably just didn't hear it right. Thank you.
So back to D then. Hearing some dissension, and I think we would have a straw vote of three commissioners on to my right and I. That would agree we need to make some changes to finding D. A commissioner could make a motion and try to leave this and see what happens. Right now we're just acting on straw votes.
You know, I'm okay if the commission finds the incompatibility between the proposed MMD and the existing gymnastics studio.
Well, we've got that in E, so that's...
Well, but this,
we have that covered in...
We're not the E yet.
Well, also, we don't need to cover it twice.
Madam Chair, if I may, that's also the wording that's proposed in the changes to a new C.
About the gymnastics studio.
That's correct.
That's true. You brought that in then to your...
But it's the neighborhood incompatibility, which is...
Right. There are two different issues, John. I see no problem with repeating findings, but if you think they run on and it's not entirely correct and you're not comfortable with it, I have no problem with you revising them.
Okay, well my problem here is I do see from testimony here today a clear preponderance of testimony that the proposed project will be inconsistent with the character of the immediate neighborhood. But I don't see any clear swaying testimony that it'll be detrimental to health, safety, or welfare of the general public. So from my perspective, allowing these things for people who need them and not having to drive long distance is helpful to health, safety, and welfare. So I'm in the minority here, but Commissioner O'Grady, if you'll go with us, maybe we could take this out or...
Two concerns. Number one, that we have the findings that are adequate legally that Mr. Orton is looking out for us here, and we have to say something about neighborhood compatibility. Is that what I'm hearing from you?
That's the staff recommendation. Yes.
Okay. So if we just said we find the proposed MMD incompatible with the character of the neighborhood. Because of the presence of an existing gymnastics facility, then I think we've covered the finding from required finding as far as the neighborhood is concerned, and we've also given anyone else who reads the findings a clue as to that what our specific concern is. We have a specific concern only about the gymnastics studio.
So that would seem that you're supporting my suggestion we just take D out about health, safety, and welfare and leave E, which deals with inconsistency and character of the immediate neighborhood.
Okay, you want to drop down to E and...
Well, it seems to cover the concern.
Yes, I think it does, and I'm fine with that.
So do I hear three commissioners willing to take out the section D?
Mr. Orton, do you concur that E will cover it?
I think there are two separate findings that are required for approval, and the intention of staff and D and E was to address each of them. If you look at the findings that are listed on page 241, I believe that number C, finding C was being covered in D, and I believe that finding number D was being covered in E. Number C is the establishment and subsequent operation and conduct of use will not, because of the circumstances and conditions applied in a particular case, be detrimental to the health, safety, or welfare of the general public or persons working or residing in the vicinity of the use, or be detrimental to the property. That was one, and I think that was intended to be covered in finding D on page 28. And I think finding D on page 241, that the proposed project or use will not be inconsistent with the character of the immediate neighborhood or contrary to the orderly development, was what staff intended finding E to address.
Finding E on, that is the way we have it written on
page 28.
Let me just say that, unfortunately, the idea of taking a break and rewriting C would have probably been a good one, because what the problem I can hear, and I'm not involved in any of this, obviously, is that C really did capture most of what Commissioner O'Grady wants to say about this. And if we knew what that really said, instead of having to read something that's not really there, you guys could probably talk about D&E very quickly and easily and get it over with. So I would suggest, since we still have some time this morning, that we take a break, rewrite C, take a look at that, and then rewrite D&E if you need to.
Okay, unless anyone isn't comfortable with that suggestion, we're stuck here, so that would buy us a little time. So staff and Commissioner O'Grady, 5 minutes break. Will that be enough to get that up on the screen? So
yes, it will, Madam Chair.
See where that lands.
Fine with me.
Okay, we'll come back at 11:41.
There, it's a lowercase b, but we'll fix that.
I'm seeing where we have children in a similar way that a recreation or youth center. Should that be recreation youth center? Or did you mean to have or youth center?
No. I am mimicking or repeating the language of the ordinance, actually.
Does it say or youth center?
Youth.
It should be youth.
Oh, okay. Does it say youth?
It said or youth center.
Well, they do sound the same.
If we approve a finding with youth center, we're all in deep doo-doo.
There's a new one for us to define, a youth center.
And at the last sentence it says, to separate dispensaries from used, I think it's to be uses, where children would be present.
Yes, that's correct. Okay, so I'll move down to the new D, since C is going to remain.
C is our old D, and it's remaining?
C is our old D, I think.
Wait a second, no.
C is
remain C.
Same?
Mm-hmm. Are we
done? Oh, I see.
Are we leaving
switch.
C now?
No. That gets deleted. We delete that.
We were okay.
Okay. So then,
yeah, right.
So that one is C.
B.
Okay. And this was left in primarily because Mr. Orton felt that required finding had to deal with the health, safety, and welfare of the general public or persons, and we were suggesting to the commissioners that we add the word children so that it's clear specifically what our concern really is about for anyone else reading these findings. And then Mr. Orton was satisfied to delete the bottom part of the finding about crime. So that's why it ended up the way it did.
Yeah, the deletion of the bottom about crime is up to the discretion of the commission.
And then on the next one, D, which is a modification of E, keeping the intent about the neighborhood and the orderly development, again, because Mr. Orton feels like we need that finding. I tailored it again to the gymnastic studio and the children, so our intent would be clear.
Okay, and then what?
F is deleted.
Is D the last condition now? E and F are getting deleted?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Hey, am I hearing commissioners are comfortable with this change of language? Commissioner White looks not.
Well, you know, I'll go along with it, but we did have public testimony here today that it's also inconsistent with the residential neighborhood, and we're deleting that aspect of it, but I don't think we have the majority here that would, and I'm seeing Commissioner O'Grady shake his head, so I'll go along with it.
Okay, Commissioner Melstone?
Yes, sir.
Did you want to change your mind?
No.
Okay, just checking.
No, I'll go along with it, too.
Okay, well, I'm hearing approval from a majority on these findings. So with that, do I hear a motion?
Okay, I'll make one.
I move to deny minor use permit DRC 2009-00044 based on the findings listed in Exhibit A as modified and put on the screen to put into the record.
Okay, and do I hear a second?
I will second that.
Okay, motion to deny and a second. So with that, is there any more discussion before we take a vote?
Madam Chair, I'd like to speak to the motion. I just want to go on the record saying that I do understand and agree with the humanitarian aspects of this. And the one thing we didn't discuss here today is that the Food and Drug Administration has not recognized medical marijuana as having a medical use, a legitimate medical use. I don't know if I agree with that. And it's unfortunate that they made that finding because I think the appropriate place for this to be dispensed would be at a pharmacy like other medications. And my mind is running as we're talking about, you know, you said this could be seen as a de facto moratorium. And I don't quite see it that way. I wish that when we think of it as a humanitarian aspect, I immediately think of churches and hospitals. And I would encourage
their concerns. So professionally, calmly, and clearly, you're obviously very proud of your community, and it shows. I also want to thank the applicant for clearly presenting his proposal. I think in America, entrepreneurship is extremely important, and I hope that, and I think the county ordinance does allow for a medical marijuana facility in San Luis Obispo County. It's just not this particular proposal, in my opinion. I also want to express my concurrence with my colleague Commissioner White's comments about Commissioner Collins' comments about the need for compassionate care, and I appreciate the difficulty on this challenging topic that all of us have had, but I hope the community understands that we've treated this with the seriousness that it deserves, and we've all done our homework to the best that we can.
I just get a little last word on this, and also want to appreciate all the people coming out today and the applicants for attempting to do this. I also won't be supporting the motion to deny today, but understanding that this application really exemplifies the difficulty in this realm, that we see a need here, or at least many of us do. I can speak for myself anyway, that I do. Having watched many terminal ill patients and also experienced chronic pain for 7 years, and the difficulty of suffering, and then also to require people to drive a long distance or be a criminal to try to relieve their pain is a problem that I think we need to grapple with. And if not here, I'm not sure where these things are going to go in our county. So I hope we can work collectively to find some place where these can go. If this isn't the appropriate place, that maybe we can find some place that is appropriate. Trip reduction, sales tax, there are lots of reasons, good, legitimate reasons, why we need to work on solving this problem. So with that, we have a motion and we have a second. So if the clerk will please call the roll.
Commissioner Yelskow?
Yes.
Commissioner Brady?
Yes.
Commissioner Christensen?
No.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Chairperson Wyatt?
No. And with that, we have a 3-2 vote to deny the project. Thank you, everyone, for coming today.
Madam Chair, planning staff may want to indicate the appeal rights on this. I think there's a 14-day period to file an appeal with the Secretary of the Planning Commission on forms that they have available. I don't know if there's anything else you wanted to add, John.
Jim, I think that pretty much covers it. This is not in the coastal zone, so it's as simple as that.
Okay, so the applicants know what their rights are as far as appeal to the next level with the supervisors. Thank you again to everyone for coming out today. Do I hear a motion to receive the material we've received into the record?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
And with that, this meeting is adjourned.